Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Michael Kelly, Amy Mark scores with you on a snowy Monday afternoon now. And you probably saw in the news that President Joe Biden blocked the merger of U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel. It was a $14.3 billion merger. The companies have now filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government, claiming that Biden's executive order was signed for purely political reasons. Well, joining us now is the mayor of Granite City. Obviously, steel being a big deal to the community and the city of Granite City, and Mayor Mike Parkinson joins us now. Mayor, thank you for taking time out of your Monday to talk with us.
Yeah, good afternoon on a real snowy, terrible day in Granite City.
I was going to say, how much snow did you guys get up there?
You know, I don't know the totals, but I've been in contact all from the last, 24 hours with my public works department, and it's pretty bad. I mean, the cold weather with the dual bands of snow that came through and ice layered on top, but now the wind blowing, it's really, really making it hard for them to keep the main roads clear. I already see people on social media, when's my road going to get it cleared? Folks, listen, this is a major winter storm. This is the likes of storms that we don't deal with every year. Our guys are doing everything they possibly can to get our roads cleared so that the emergency vehicles can get where they need to get in case of an emergency. And that's really the priority right now. Side roads or not, stay home. I mean, that's what I recommend. Stay home, and unless you're a emergency worker, people need to stay in. It's bad out there.
Yeah, no, I imagine the roads are not great up there. We've been saying, getting reports from people, Highway 70 is pretty bad, and there are major snow medians on Highway 70 with tires and cement and debris in the middle of that, exit ramps, all of that a mess. So Granite City as well, stay home if you can. Well, we've been talking about this merger, obviously the lawsuit, U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel suing the U.S. government, saying it was a political game why this merger was blocked. How do you feel about President Biden's decision to block the nearly $15 billion deal?
Well, listen, I don't know how they could say it's a political game. I think that the current president, Joe Biden, and President-elect Donald Trump are both on the same page with this deal. So I don't know where the politics comes in. When you have the Democrat sides and the Republican sides both saying this is a bad deal for America, well, I don't know what's political about that. This is just in the best interest of the United States. Having a foreign company control the steel making in the United States, in my opinion, is not a good one. And if they have the right intent, fine, bring it forward. This is what we've been saying all along. Tell the American citizens, tell the public, tell the workers, tell these cities what your intent is with the steel manufacturing in this country. We've yet to see any kind of plan whatsoever outlining what the plans are for Granite City or what the plans are for them in general if they purchase this plant. And talk cheap, right? I mean, let's see it. Put it to Congress. Put it in the court proceedings. Let's see it. Bring it forward.
So what's next for Granite City then, Mayor? Obviously, Nippon had some hope that it would keep it open and keep those folks working there. With the administration putting the kibosh to that, you've got to look to the future. What do you see as next?
Well, I don't know. Let me cut you off there because I don't know where you're hearing that. The reports I was hearing back from the union, because one, Nippon's never spoke to me, nor has any executives from U.S. Steel. The union's telling me differently. They're telling me that they were basically going to shut down a big, big part of the operations here in Granite City, costing many, many jobs. So, clearly we're in the dark. It's a guessing game. So, I've reached out to our U.S. Congress and trying to get a meet with the incoming president to try to get this battle going to at least make them come to the table and talk to all of us and let us know what their plans are. I mean, you know, why keep it all quiet? If you have such great plans and this is such a great deal for America, why are we not talking about what the plans are?
And with the transition that's about to happen with the administrations, do you all have a contact inside the federal government that you're working with to try to find a way to keep this plant going in Granite City?
Well, sure. I mean, I've reached Nikki Budzinski has been a champion on this cause all along. We've been dealing with her mostly. I recently reached out to Mike Post's office and trying to work with them as well. You know, listen, as the mayor of this town, with this being the biggest industry in my town, I'm waiting for anybody to come work with me. I've reached out to everybody. Like I said, Nikki Budzinski has been the biggest champion for this cause. But, you know, as of yet, I've yet to have a meeting with, like I said, any of the steel industries. You know, the union I've met with many, many times. But other than that, you know, this has been the most backdoor deal I've ever seen.
Interesting. Yeah. I've been following Scott Linsicum. He is he's the vice president of the Cato Institute, which is a public policy research organization, also an economic professor at Duke and with the Dispatch. And he's been following this really, really in the weeds. And he was noting some of the major aspects of this deal. And CBS also reported on one of the features of the potential Nippon Steel purchase would be that the Japanese-based company proposed giving the U.S. government veto power over any potential cuts to U.S. Steel's production capacity. Had you heard about that feature of the deal?
Well, but listen, I mean, talk's cheap, right? I mean, you can say anything you want right now. Until we see things on paper, and until we actually have the facts of the deal, and all these things are worked out, you know, I think it is in the best interest of America for the president to stay in the way. I mean, these things, you can say whatever you want, right? Mm-hmm. You can say you're going to honor the contracts, you're going to honor all the workforce contracts, but once you own it, you know, there's all kinds of things that change. So, you know, until those things are actually worked out and agreements are made and things are done, you know, this deal can't go through. It's been too quiet. It's been, you know, there's a lot of money on the table here, right? I mean, you're talking about an exorbitant amount of money that's been offered to purchase this company. Of course, Dave Burritt and his folks want to see this deal go through. You know, when you're going to get that giant paycheck from this deal, you'll do anything you can to get it go through, and to heck with everybody else.
Just to clarify, too, whether the deal was blocked and Nippon Steel does not buy U.S. Steel, or whether they did buy U.S. Steel, there's no guarantee about the plants right now that you've seen in Granite City remaining open, either from U.S. Steel or Nippon Steel.
That's correct, and I think that's what's bothersome, right? Is that neither side is at the table saying, "Hey, look, you know, if we can get this deal done, this is what it would mean for you guys," or if we get this deal done, we can do these things. Or there's just no talk about that. If you really want the deal to go through, sit down with the leadership, sit down with the city, sit down with you know, the labor unions, and actually get this deal worked out the right way.
And again, this is the reporting CBS News Plus from the Cato Institute and Scott Linsicum. And you had mentioned that none of this was on paper or that you had seen. I mentioned Nippon Steel offering the veto power to the U.S. government for any proposed steel plant closures. Nippon Steel had also pledged to invest at least $2.7 billion in U.S. Steel's union-represented facilities. And with that being the case, would you be open to Nippon Steel if you saw more on paper? Is it more about the lack of transparency, or is it about it going to the Japanese-based company?
Well, it's both. I mean, it is. That's always going to be a fear, right, in people's mind when it's not American-owned anymore. You know, if there's guarantees that can be put in place that are lock solid and you know, that there's no wiggle room around it, right? Every time you sign a contract, I mean, look at the insurance company, right? You sign a contract, and then there's always something in there that's this hidden language that says, but if, right? That's the fear. And you can say whatever you want, but, you know, everybody has to be informed. It has to be the transparency. It has to be all of that. You know, just as I said, talk's cheap. You know, let's sit down at the table, and if this is a good deal for America, then so be it. But right now, there's just that general fear of foreign ownership and the lack of transparency. That, you know, once they own it, they own it, and then you're in long court battles. And the last thing I want to see here in this town, one, is the plant to be shut down and not produce steel anymore. This is the best steel being made in the world. Secondly, the loss of those jobs here. Mm-hmm. But thirdly, if they do move the operations out of here, I want this place cleaned up. It needs to be cleaned up for the environment's sake. I mean, Horseshoe Lake doesn't need to be to have all the runoff of God knows what chemicals they've used on those plants. So, you know, I need to see all those things. I want guarantees that if they are going to shut anything down, that they have to clean this site up, return it to brownfields, and allow us to put new business on top of it.
Mayor, have you been able to speak with any of the steel workers in your area to gauge how they're feeling about this?
Yeah, I've been in close contact with the steel workers unions. You know, quite frankly, they're the only ones talking to me. That's the problem.
What concerns or hopes have they shared?
Well, I mean, they're all concerned for their workforce here. You know, the general talks are that, you know, the production of steel here on the blast furnace side are done. And that, you know, there's a small fraction of the plant that they're going to keep open here, but it would mean a significant loss in jobs. So I think they're all concerned.
Mayor, if people wanted to help you in your efforts and the steelworkers in your efforts, what would you recommend they do?
Well, listen, you know, write your congressman, contact your congressman's office and tell him, you know, that this is a matter of serious interest for this region. It's not just Granite City. I've said this all along. It's not just Granite City. You know, these steelworkers make good money. They live in Highland. They live in Glen Carbon. They live in Edwardsville. They live in all these cities where their mortgage is going to be affected. It's going to affect the home rates in those areas for, you know, if these people start losing their mortgages. So this is not just a Granite City problem. This is a regional problem. Start writing your congressman. Start calling them and get them on the ball with this and get everybody moving to make sure that if this deal does go through, if they're successful in their court proceedings, if this deal does go through, that the language is in place to protect these American jobs and protect this industry.
Mayor Mike Parkinson of Granite, Illinois, thank you for your time today, Mayor. I know it's been a busy one, not only with this deal, but also with the weather you're dealing with. Stay safe and good luck as you help make sure people stay safe in Granite City and the roads get cleared.
Yeah, folks, just to remind everybody, be patient with these public works people. They're out there working their tails off, and this is a tough job. And side streets will get done when they get done, but main streets, getting emergency vehicles to where they need to be, are the main priority right now. But we'll get this thing turned around within a day or so. So everybody be safe and stay home if you can. Thanks, guys. You guys always do a great job.
Thank you. That is Mayor Mike Parkinson of Granite City, Illinois. I'm sure we will be talking to him again as this lawsuit between U.S. Steel, Nippon Steel, and the U.S. government continues to roll forward. He is Mike Kelly. I'm Amy Markscores. If you're at home, stay there. But you can text us, 314-436-7900. If it's on your mind, send it our way. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Keep me warm. Michael Kelly, I think we've been challenged.
Whoa, somebody wants to challenge us?
From a 314. Uh-huh. Amy, I'll stack my Toyota 4Runner up against your Subaru or Michael's supercar anytime. I've bought two used ones over the last 25 years, the first one in 2000 and the second one in 2016. My grandson is still driving the one that I bought in 2000. It's never left me or him stranded.
Wow. Well,
that's,
you know, I've heard good,
good
things about those Toyotas. What do you say, a 4Runner?
4Runner. Those things hold their value, too.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he said happy belated New Year, so I don't know if that breaks the rule.
I think we can penalize him for that. Larry David would not be happy.
Yeah, no, he would not.
I was in Forest Park yesterday.
Yes.
Checking out my car.
what were you checking out?
You're driving up
okay.
the, you know, I was driving in the car.
Looking
the
for
snow.
A lady in distress?
No. Listen, it was so snowy there that, but the amount of people walking and then all the other sickos that you hang out with that run, they were there. But I did see a lot of people walking with their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
When did dog boots become a part of what dogs wear when they go out? And where would one buy dog boots? Because I probably saw, and by the way, not the little small dogs, you know, the ones that can fit in your pocket. I'm talking about big dogs mm-hmm. that were out with boots on yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I must have missed this whole thing.
It's cold out there for their little feet.
Yeah, but I mean, they've been going for millennia without food.
Well,
now we're wrapping them up and we're putting blankets on top of them. We're putting boots on the dogs.
Inbreeding, Michael. These are not the wild wolves of yesteryear.
Yeah.
These things are as coddled and delicate as the snowflake that falls from the sky. Like their little feet. I mean, we're calling them feet now. They're not even paws. They have little feet and they're precious, like that type of thing. And their little feet get cold on the ice. And if you're going to walk your dog, you got to give them boots.
Well, I saw these dogs yesterday that had boots. And I even stopped and I almost wanted to roll down my window and say, now, where would one purchase boots for your dog if you wanted to buy boots for your dog?
Everywhere. I think
they got them at Nordstrom's right there next to your boots.
Well, okay, I don't know if they have them at Nordstrom, but they definitely have them at pet stores, pet supply stores.
Have you been to a pet supply store and seen boots for sale?
I have. I have seen little boots because we put them on our dog. And,
you do?
And, well, we did. Our old dog, Francis, is my mom's current dog. And Francis...
Francis is a terrorist that you brought home, correct?
Francis is a little bit of a terrorist in the morning. You know what it's like in the morning? You have to be super quiet so that, what is that John Krasinski movie with Emily Blunt? The Quiet Place. That's what my parents' house is in the morning because you cannot wake up Francis. But he does not wear boots, but our previous dog, we bought boots for him and he would like walk really
With the boots on?
Yeah, it'd be very suspicious. Like, he didn't know what he thought of the boots. They lift his paws up. But because if you go on a long walk, the ice can freeze. The ice can freeze there.
I don't think so. I don't think dogs want boots.
Here from 573, the snow can get caught in their hairy paws. PetSmart and Amazon have doggy boots.
Okay, are those dogs that are running across Alaska pulling those sleighs in the Iditarod, are those dogs wearing boots?
I don't think so.
How would their paws be any different than other paws?
They...
And if we're going to paw up dogs, why aren't we out pawing up cows and pigs and,
horses and
horses?
Shoes.
I think it's ridiculous that we're putting shoes on dogs.
Well, Michael, I will just say I think if you got a dog, you would realize how precious he is.
Yeah.
And you would want to put boots on your dog.
Do you ever see that there's some... folks that shop at a grocery store sometimes mm-hmm. where they you think they've got a baby in a stroller.
Oh,
but they don't have a baby, they have a dog. And it's cute and it's a nice observation of, oh, look at that dog. And at the same time you're sitting there thinking, man, there are people starving in this world and you got a stroller for your dog.
Yeah.
The dog's supposed to be going for a walk.
Yeah. We haven't done the dog stroller yet. I've seen little dogs give up on walks before and their parents have to carry them home.
I've seen big dogs do that.
I know, but they just lay down. They just lie down. There's nothing you can do.
No, they just look at you like, move me, big guy.
Hey, Michael, we need help from you.
Okay.
From a 618.
Uh-huh.
Help, it's my wife's birthday. She's off work today and snowed in. She's crabby. LOL.
Well,
what do we do now?
It's a husband, wife, and it's her birthday?
Yeah, and
I could give some suggestions for birthday celebrations.
Okay.
You know, if you've got any ice cream, you ought to scoop out a little bit of ice cream, maybe draw her a nice warm bath. Let her
eat ice cream in the bathtub?
Yeah, and let her get into her birthday suit and eat some ice cream, and who knows how the night ends.
I think.
Is this for her or for him?
Who is this for?
Well, I don't know. I mean, wouldn't you like to have a bowl of ice cream and sit in a nice warm bath, Aim?
I hate baths.
Really?
They're so boring.
Yeah.
And you have to take a shower first. Otherwise, you're sitting in your own filth.
I'm with you on that.
Which is disgusting.
We're messed up. You and I are uniquely messed up
gross.
When it comes to this clean stuff. What about the ice cream? Please tell me you like ice cream.
I love ice cream. I've never thought about eating ice cream in a bathtub, but I do like the juxtaposition of the ice-cold ice cream with a warm bath.
Mm-hmm.
That could be fun. Listen, turn on a show, a
movie. I know some stuff. Now, let me tell you. I had a something I picked up on Snowmageddon Day. I went to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in this company. but there's a company called Jenny's, J-E-N-N-I-S.
Yeah.
And they've got little shops around town, but they also sell them in the grocery stores. They now have these Jenny's sandwiches.
Okay.
Key lime pie with graham cracker crust. It's like a little cookie. It's like a little stuffed cookie. And I bought one box of them, and they're gone. And they lasted about six hours at my house. I ate all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Gone completely.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
They, that sounds delicious. My go-to, believe it
bathtub.
Or not, is sprinkles on vanilla ice cream.
Sprinkles.
Oh my gosh. Tons of sprinkles.
Do you own independent sprinkles like salt and pepper that you will just pull out just to put sprinkles on things?
Yeah. And I just open up the gallon of ice cream and I pour the sprinkles directly in and just eat out of it.
Kind of like that.
It's delicious. Sprinkles on ice cream. Hey, he's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. There's a lot to get to. Justin Trudeau is no longer the Prime Minister of Canada. Congress is certifying the 2024 election. It's a hell of a day at sea.
Bernie Nicholas talks about it Monday and Friday on the Dave Glover Show on KMOX.
Well, it looks like Congress is just about finishing up certifying the results of the 2024 election with President-elect Donald Trump. Going to take office January 20th for inauguration.
4 years later from arguably one of the darkest days in American political history with what we witnessed.
Yeah, that was not great.
But there she is, the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, who lost the election, providing her... constitutional a duty, sitting next to the Speaker of the House, and doesn't appear that we're going to have any of the shenanigans from the Democrats we saw from the Republicans.
Well, yeah, I'm actually reading a book right now, Michael, by Chris Wallace. That Chris Wallace, the former CNN guy and Fox. So he has written a series of books that are all countdown, fill in the blank. There's Countdown 1945, which is the final hours and days leading up to dropping the atomic bombs.
Okay.
There is Countdown Bin Laden, which is the final days leading up to Osama Bin Laden, killing Osama Bin Laden. I'm reading Countdown 1960, the behind-the-scenes story. Countdown of the 312 days that changed America's politics forever. It's really good. So that's the Nixon-Kennedy election. And it starts with Senator Kennedy announcing his candidacy for president. Let me tell you, this Chris Wallace and his Countdown series of books, I cannot recommend them highly enough.
Oh.
I gave the Countdown 1945 and the Countdown Bin Laden books to my dad. He's reading them. They read like movies.
Nice.
Because it sounds a little heavy, right? Sounds like kind of heavy topics. So you don't want to read them. It feels like you're watching a movie. Really interesting. And I'm excited to get deeper into the book, Countdown 1960. Probably you're familiar with how that Kennedy-Nixon election changed America's politics.
I want to read these now that you've brought it up. I like Chris Wallace. Now, this is going to make me sound old, but I used to like his dad on 60 Minutes, Mike Wallace. And I've always appreciated when Fox News, Fox, the regular channel, stood up. They started with Mike Wallace as their face of their politics, and I found him to be a really down-the-line reporter and was sad to see him move on from Fox and now CNN. I'm glad to know he's writing these books. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, really good. I highly recommend them. I know we mentioned this earlier, but Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau did resign. This is almost out. After almost a decade in power in Canada, he said, quote, "It has become clear to me that if I'm having to fight internal battles, I cannot be the best option in that election." They're having elections later on this year.
Yeah, so they have a parliamentary system a lot like ours. He'll be stepping down as the party head. He'll stay there until they get a new party head. It's not going to go well for his party in the upcoming elections. The whole world is moving right. And many anticipate that Canada will do the same thing. And this is kind of one of the quirks in their politics, much like the Brits do, where you can have a no vote of confidence. The writing's on the wall here. He's getting out of there as to not be the face for the election.
Yeah, and he is exiting that position as one of the most unpopular political figures in Canada at the moment. As the Wall Street Journal said, he is the latest standard bearer for progressive politics to suffer from a voter backlash. This is, of course, amid economic retreat, discontent with aggressive climate policies, and a growing resistance to immigration. And yeah, Michael, just while we're briefly on that topic of immigration, I do feel like lack of order and control at the border was one of Joe Biden's biggest unforced errors. And I know the Republicans killed that bill recently, in the past year and a half, that would have imposed border restrictions. And that's on them, because if it's urgent, then it's urgent.
Right.
End of story. And I said they could have used, Republicans could have said, look, Biden and Democrats' approach to the border is so disastrous that even they need a border bill.
Right.
We're going to pass this bill, and then you reelect us in the upcoming election, and we'll pass a stronger bill. Like, that was such an easy play. Instead, they didn't. They killed the bill. But beyond that, Biden did impose stricter restrictions in the past year. And I feel like, well, you should have done that earlier. There was a political commentator that made an interesting point. He said, listen, the border matters, immigration matters. And he goes, I kind of feel like if fascists are the only ones who will close the border, then Americans will eventually elect fascists. And he wasn't talking about Trump. He was exaggerating, talking about eventually it doesn't matter who's running. Americans are going to vote for someone who's going to do something about the border. Do you feel like that was the biggest unforced error from Biden?
Oh, no. I think there were a lot of things. I think he's also a victim of the circumstance and the time. I mean, part of the reason he was rushed into office is the pandemic hit. Donald Trump was floundering in terms of being able to deal with the pandemic. Remember, we threw out all this money into the economy, several trillion dollars, mm-hmm. and then we all acted 3 years later surprised when inflation hit, when anybody who did a simple economics class would understand what was going to happen. So you couple that with his age, you couple it with the time and environment. You know, a lot of the stuff that's being pinned to Joe Biden was happening at companies. Mm-hmm. Companies were the ones who were implementing these more progressive policies and the way that people were going to communicate in the office place. I know. I lived it. I worked for companies. I watched it happen. I announced my pronouns in meetings that mm-hmm. came on, and that backlash came back at Joe Biden. Joe Biden didn't implement that. So, look, Joe Biden, I think as time goes on from a Democratic perspective, will be admired from a Democrat in terms of what he accomplished. In terms of his legacy as a president, unfortunately, I think he's going to be a victim of circumstances. And I just don't believe that the border is the only reason that he got clobbered. I think the Republicans have got a tough task, Amy. They brought in a lot of my friends into the Republican Party this year. People who've always voted for working families issues. People who believed them when he said, we're going to lower the price of groceries and we're going to, stop the tax on tips and Social Security. Donald Trump really brought that working person's message to the Republican Party. And now the face of that party is the world's mm-hmm. richest man. And are they going to actually deliver on those things? You mentioned the border. Donald Trump said that Mexico was going to build us a wall. Well, that wall's still not built, and Mexico never paid for it. So I think that this is a real tumultuous time. I don't anticipate that this 4 years of splendid happiness with Donald Trump, and more importantly, I'm not sure he's going to be able to accomplish much, because I think he's going to meet the same resistance Joe Biden did, which is people are angry.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like you said, the whole the issue with pronouns and so forth, and some of the more progressive DEI policies and all of that within the government. Sure, Biden bears culpability for that. When it comes to different companies, it could be a culture that Democrats fostered. And like you said, whether or not Joe Biden had his hand directly in it or not, it's kind of like part and parcel of being the president. It's gonna go to you.
Yep.
You may not have a huge influence on gas prices, but it falls on your shoulders. Yep. You wanted the job. People are going to point their finger at you. We talked to Jonah Goldberg last week, and he's like, ultimately, the economy doesn't care who's president. There's a macro economy and a micro economy. The macro economy, the United States, we're doing great. We are leaving Europe in the dust when it comes to GDP. The average American worker is more productive and worth more, creating more wealth than any other, you know, developed country. Like, the United States is crushing it. But also, moms and dads live in a micro economy. The price of eggs does matter.
Right.
And people are going to point at the president. That's the job. If you don't want the blame, don't take the job. And so, and I'm not saying the president has no influence. He does, or she does, but it's not like you can press a magic button and fix the economy or fix gas prices. I do think, especially with some of the governments, you know, with different leaders stepping down, like Justin Trudeau, or what happened in France, what's happening in Germany and the UK, what feels like out of control immigration or a border that is being overwhelmed by illegal migration, or illegal migrants, I should say, immigrants, that is frustrating people. And it's almost like that guy said, like, they don't care who is in charge. They just want somebody to enforce the immigration laws.
All right, let me take off my Democrat hat for a minute and let's just talk.
Yeah.
Because here's what I see. I see in Europe, you see a lot of people that are coming from Africa, mm-hmm. and who are making their way in the Middle East, who are trying to make their way into Europe. Why? Because there's an economy there. They mm-hmm. want a better life, right? Same thing. We're seeing a lot of South America and Mexican and, you know, Latin American folks coming up to do the same thing in the United States. This is happening everywhere. And maybe it's because people are more educated about the opportunities that exist in other places and that they should be mobile. But I don't see building walls and, you know, threatening to keep people out is how we're ultimately going to fix the idea that a human being's going to want to go strive for a better life. Our situation at the southern border is not unique. Our European friends are dealing with the same issue. Maybe we're going to have to find some way to bring opportunity to the entire globe. Otherwise, I don't see how we're ever going to stop people from wanting to chase a better life.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Well, and the thing
is, somebody left Ireland because they were starving.
Right. And I think that's why you want to balance compassion with law. I mean, you have to. You want to open your arms to everybody. You can't. It's just like your house. You see a homeless person on the street. If we scale it down, you can't take 1,000 homeless people into your home to the detriment of your own kids. So I think there's that. It's vetting who's coming across the border. It's not creating an attractive nuisance where you tell people, do whatever you can to break the law. Once you get into this country, you're home free.
Yeah, but Amy, I'm telling you, I don't think you can build the walls big enough to keep people from wanting to chase the American dream. I don't think you can put enough troops on the borders of some of those European countries to keep people from wanting to chase the dream of freedom and opportunity. And I'm with you. But I think that's a simple explanation we're getting from everybody right now is we're going to keep these people out. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep them out maybe temporarily. But we all better figure this out, because when you have billions of people who want to live the lives that we're living, and for no other reason than the circumstances of where they were born, mm-hmm. they're unable to do it, of course humanity is going to go try to find its way.
Of course. I mean, think of this is whenever anybody – it's all high and mighty, like, well, too bad for them. Just remember how gross and awful we were when we were low on toilet paper. People were tackling each other in the store for toilet paper. They were stealing toilet paper. That was because you were afraid you might not have it for a couple of days. Imagine you're in a country that's being overrun with gang war, drug lords. Rape is a crime that's going on, you know, that different factions would commit against others and against the community. Yes, you are going to do everything to get your family to a safer place. And that's where my heart is. However, you also have to take national security into account and say, we want immigrants. Immigrant families are awesome. Immigrants, my goodness, working, building businesses, keeping our country running. We need that. But it has to be lawful. Sure. We have to vet who's coming into the country.
I guess where I'm going is the industrialized world needs to realize that even people in the third world have a phone and can see the opportunity mm-hmm. that exists on this planet now. and are going to be seeking it. And no matter how big a walls we build, they're going to continue to come. Maybe we ought to try to find a way to help prop up their economies, and maybe they'll quit coming.
We have a text from a 314 as we move on. Does Trump get the blame when he can't bring prices down? And I would say, yeah, who's ever president? I mean, it's the economy, stupid, you know, from years ago. I think whoever is president, you point your finger at the
there
president.
There was a time that Justin Trudeau was the most popular man in Canada. It was just a couple of short years ago. He was showing up at the White House. He was the toast of the town. He was Princess Diana from Canada. And guess what? Now he's going out with his head between his legs. It happens to them all. Some days you're the prize, and other days you're the... Another P word.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. A few more minutes on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
It's great to listen to someone who is a good match with Amy. Amy's a nice person, sweet person. And Chris is a protagonist. That's his play. She's too good a person. She doesn't deserve it either. Michael Kelly, good match. He acknowledges her comments, treats her with respect. That's how it should be.
Wow. Oh. Poor Chris taking it on the chops. That's mean.
You are a delight, Michael Kelly.
Well, maybe Chris is past the honeymoon with you. Like, I don't know. You and I have been together a long time, and it's just one constant little dialogue. Maybe you guys just are too close, and this guy thinks that you've got that edginess for each other.
Yeah.
I like listening to you, too.
Why, thank you. Why, I appreciate it.
And while I side with Ranji on a lot, there's sometimes I just want to be like, Amy, tell Ranji how nuts he is.
Yeah.
This leftist lunatic. Like, I'm a leftist, and you're way wrong on this one, Ranj.
Well, thank you, Michael.
But then most of the time I'm like texting Ranj, saying, Ranj, put her in her place.
Well, Chris Ranji, he doesn't know what's going on. He's visiting the wife and kids in Chicago. It's keeping him busy. They don't want Dad to leave, so he's still there. Michael, we have a comment. We have a comment on our StreamYard. You can listen, or on our YouTube stream, you can watch the show. Iditarod dogs do have their paws wrapped. They will use burlap and twine.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
I haven't fact checked this, but it sounds real.
That would make sense because they like run for like hundreds of maybe even thousands of miles. But I'm just sitting there thinking that the dogs walking around in the galoshes on Forest Park may be a little much. I mean, 3 days of cold weather and you're out there buying your dog boots.
Those dogs walking around in Forest Park yesterday live a posh lifestyle in some Central West End high rise.
Yeah.
You think they're ready to go walk in the park?
Yeah, good point.
They can't handle that.
Good point.
They can't
Would
handle
you,
that.
I know you're physically ill right now, dealing with her injury.
Yeah.
Whatever the proper word would be.
Physically injured.
Had you not been physically injured, would you have been one of those sickos out running? Why?
Because
it's fun. Help me understand what's gratifying about that.
So, if you're running... If you're a runner, you love to be outside.
Uh-huh.
You love to feel that exhilaration of running. When you run in the snow, it's extra fun because it feels like you're playing. It feels like you're playing in the snow and you don't have to pay attention to pace. If you're running on the road on a regular day, you're looking at your watch like, man, I'm slow today. But when you're running in the snow, it doesn't matter.
I'm doing it.
I'm just here.
It's like running on the beach. Okay, that would make sense.
It is,
so it's what you love to do in a different setting.
No
pressure.
So
like getting to run on the beach would not be fun for time, but hey, you're on the beach, so I'm going to accept it.
Yeah, what's weird is I can't run on the beach. I do not like, I would rather not run than run on the beach. That's how much I can't do the beach. It's sloped, and sometimes the wet sand is really hard, and the dry sand is too soft. But the snow is perfect, and I think that's what it is. It's, you feel like you're playing with house money. The fact that I'm outside.
The worst part about going to the beach is the sand. And you know what somebody told me once, and I've never thought about it until they pointed it out to me, is don't think about the sand. Like in the past, I always be like, oh, well, I got to wipe it off my feet before I do this, that, or the other. If you ignore the sand goes away. Otherwise, you wind up taking it all home.
If you ignore the sand goes away. Have you found this to be true?
No. I just thought I'd tell you what they did told me psychologically.
Oh.
Like, but you know how it is? Like, you get to a beach and you're like, am I going to take my shoes off here? And then you bring it into the
car. It gets everywhere.
And the next thing you know, you're having dinner later and you're like, what's this grit in my mouth? It's a piece of sand.
Do you guys get sand in your shorts? Does the sand get in the shorts?
Yeah, when I wear my banana thong, my thong. But if I wear my regular sandwich swimsuit, no, I don't get sand in my pants. You get sand in your pants?
Yeah, I think sand gets everywhere because if you're in the water, right, and then you...
Oh, and it rolls over you?
Yeah, it rolls over you, or like you're walking in and out past the waves, back into the waves. Sand gets everywhere. Matt, you get sand in your shorts.
You get a little bit of sand in the pants for sure.
Oh my gosh, I have to say this because it's snowy and because the illustrious, the incomparable Chris Myhill, former executive producer.
I love Chris.
Of the Charlie Brennan Show. Just incredible. He wore his swim trunks to work.
That's what you said.
Yeah, so Chris Myhill, get here early, came in shorts, which is a new development too. Uh-huh. Like he used to wear a tie to KMOX, but now, you know, after COVID, nobody cares. So he came in shorts, and it turned out after he went home, his wife goes, "You wore the beautiful Judy." Judy told Chris, "You wore your swim trunks to work." He said, "These aren't swim trunks." She said, "They say Speedo on them. Did you not notice that it said Speedo?" He thought, "Well, doesn't Speedo make regular shorts?" She said, "What about the mesh liner? Did that throw you off?" He said, "No, I just thought some shorts have mesh liner."
Yeah. What is with the mesh liner? Why do they put those in swim trunks?
It replaces your underpants,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, it's supposed to like keep from chafing and stuff. But I got to tell you, I've bought several a pair of swim trunks and I've cut that out of there.
You cut the mesh out?
Oh, heck yeah. I don't want that in me when I'm going out there into the lake, you know, swimming around.
I'm out there, Jerry.
I'm loving it.
We don't have time for this, but I have the ultimate swimsuit story. My swimsuit story. Wet Willies.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it was fun being with you today.
You got to come back soon so you can tell that story. Michael Kelly, you're the absolute best. Thank you for coming to the studio in your magic car, filling in for Chris Ranji, who's visiting his wife and kids. We don't know what's up with tomorrow. Michael and I are going to hang out with the Glover Show for a little bit because they're on next. The Dave Glover Show is next. This is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.